How do you know you're blessed? We've had a real interesting week last week. We had the vaccine mandates get, here they come, right? I gave you my take, spiritually and scripturally, on how to deal with this. We really had kind of an open mic day, a little bit. And how we walk through this as believers, how do we do it? And this week, most of us have not had power. No internet, no hot showers, got a microwave, got a grill. Great! Got a roof over our heads. Now, we're blessed. We're still blessed. We're really blessed. Blessed. Rosie and I said, honey, I got to hear this today. We were driving in late, and we had to pick up some emergency food. Thank God it's there. We're blessed. But I want you to think about how you look at things. Are you blessed? I had somebody repeat to me regularly for years, how are you, so-and-so? Well, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I said, no, are you really? Are you really? Or is it just a rote thing that you say? Do you know that you're blessed? Do you know that? So I put on the song, I'm Blessed. Y'all want to hear that?
Yes.
You know the one I'm talking about?
Yes.
We had such a good time with that. Can we play that? Are you ready? Stand with me. While everybody else is home dealing with power and generator problems, we at least get to share Jesus here and enjoy his blessings. Amen? Go ahead. Can you bring it up? Bring it up. Hey, sound booth. We've entered his rest. We're blessed, 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 and we've entered his rest. I wish I could do that. Praise God. All right. Now, are you blessed? We know we're blessed. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No matter what the circumstances are, we are blessed. No matter what. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, now, we can be seated if you would. Let's get into word, shall we? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, praise God. Would you please turn to... where am I? I'm in church. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to... Oh boy, I've been a busy boy here these last few days. Go to Titus, will you? Titus chapter 2. We're still in the same series. The series is called Mindset. We're going to continue on with this message. I've got another week or so, depending on how far we go with this. I want to really get to you and into you what we're facing in our lives in these last days. But first, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God, remember this, that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is our mindset. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That's his church. That's us. Amen? Now, keeping this mindset, go to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. I know we've had a break in our kind of our run with this series, but this is all about, this whole aspect of this particular series is on the, this is a most instructional part of Ephesians, I believe, for us for these last days. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. It's instruction in how to walk this through in areas that we don't normally think about. Yes, we're under grace. We're not under the law. Yes, we're forgiven. Yes, we're blessed. But you know, we still have issues that we face. And one of those big issues is we have an enemy. And we're not cognizant of the way this enemy works so many times in our lives. We kind of get a little lost or confused in this. And this is what I want to clear up because I think it's necessary. It's absolutely necessary, crucial for us in these last days to understand our God and know our enemy and not be deceived. Amen? Okay. We're born into a war. When we're born on this earth, we're born into a war for eternal souls. Overall, over everything. When we're born again immediately, instantly, onto a battlefield. Like it or not, it's real. And we have an enemy. We have a God, our God, who loves us unconditionally. And we have an enemy who hates us with the type of deep hatred that all he can think of is destroying our lives and those around us. And We have to have a mindset in this time, and really for our lives, this is the reality of what's going on. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So many times it's taught that we kind of read this and go, yeah, I got it. And we don't really have it. And we go on to what is typically taught as the armor in this list. That is not the armor. Part of it is. Part of it is armor, part of it is weapons. But it's how to stand. The basic instruction of what Paul, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is trying to get through to us is, what are we looking at here? This is our reality around us. First thing he says to those of us who are under grace and have this grace message is, brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And we've covered this a couple weeks ago. Be strong in Him, in spirit, in His spirit. And that takes on a whole light, a whole different light by itself. And His power, not in our flesh, not in our emotions, and not in our reasoning. Because typically that's where we default to. Normally, the Lord wants us to be strong in Him and the power of His might and default to Him every time in the midst of this instruction for how we live now on the battlefield. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says we are partakers of His divine nature. That means we partner with Him. We are partners connected with Him so strongly in His divine nature. We take part in it. So to be strong in Him and the power of His might is being a part, a partner with Him in His divine nature. It really leaves us out of it. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, I want to dissect this because I don't think we really consider the whole meaning of this. This is going to take a little bit. And we're going to kind of gut the enemy's methods here so that we understand how he works. First of all, the armor is what we have that in the Lord, all that He's given us in Him, all of it. And all these things, let me read the list to you because it's more than this. Our armor is spiritual armor, but it's the name of Jesus. Carmina was sharing this morning. It was powerful. That was awesome. That was big. That was breakthrough. Speaking the name of Jesus. Wow. Over the family. Wow. You know, it was a reminder for me to speak it over my family because my family is messed up, missing the Lord. Many of them don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I can't break through. You know, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, right? And among his own relatives, which many of us face. The name of Jesus is armor. Armor is protective, and armor, if you read the Greek, armor is a weapon. It's protective and it's a weapon. It's used both ways. It's the armor of God, the instruction in the Word, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man or woman of God might be thoroughly equipped in Him. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Part of our armor in all the things to do with this. I already went through all this, so I won't spend a lot of time. But faith. Faith is a part of our armor and our weapon. Our words. what we speak, because power is released out of our mouth when we speak. Every single time. Power is released. Power to give life or death. Wow. Move mountains. Cast out demons. Yeah. Get people healed. Power. Every time. That's why in Ephesians it says, let no corrupt word come from your mouth. No destructive, rotten, tearing down word come from your mouth. Because there's power in it. It's a part of our armor. Our authority as a believer. Wow, it's huge. Because we're in Jesus and he's in us. And everything he has is ours. And who he is ours. Prayer. Wow, this is big. This is huge. I told you Lonnie and his group are praying for revival. They're still praying for revival. I'm so glad. Because none of us can do this by ourselves. I'm still praying for revival because I need it. And we all do. This house, this church, this body is to be a light in this area. I know that. This is to be a powerhouse here. It's not the mega churches that are going to do this. It's the churches like ours. The smaller churches where people are going to be drawn. Because the power of God and revival is here. Worship. This morning, worship. Joy, peace, wisdom. Our righteousness. It's all armor and it's all weapons. Okay? And there's more. Whatever you have that you know and are assured of right now in your life for you personally. You may not have all this. You may have different, a little different. But whatever you have in your knowledge base and your understanding and that you absolutely believe, it is your armor and it is your weapon. Keep growing into the rest of it because you're equipped. You've already been equipped. It's most important for us to not to be sedentary, but to continue to grow in our armor that we have and our weapons. Amen? 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Remember, this is all spiritual. For the weapons of our warfare and the armor of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You want to see the enemy's defeat? I mean, do you want to? Do you want to see it? Then utilize your armor and your weapons. Don't let them lay slack. Use them. Be cognizant of them. This has to be our mindset. You're on a battlefield. A lot of times we wonder, we're walking along, we're living our life, and slap, something goes on in our lives, like whatever. And we went, what happened? Where'd that come from? I wasn't doing anything. There's no reaping and sowing here. What happened? You have an enemy. We all do. Is it always demonic? No. But boy, the demonic, I'll get into this more, is out there. And it's real. All right. The next part of verse 11. Then he says, stand. Put on the whole armor of God, the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. To stand means to stay intact, not fall to pieces, not break down, not lose it and go running off, screaming into the distance and into another country. That's not it. It's to stand intact in the midst of the battle. It's to stand. Remember, you're being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And it's his armor. All you got to do is stand. But it's not stand and do nothing. It's stand and do battle with his power, his spirit, his strength, his might. How do you do this? Just like we've been talking about, catch up on the next last couple of weeks. If you want to stay intact and live in the victory that you've already got, it's already yours. James 4:7 says, submit to God. Oh, sometimes that's so hard. Isn't it? Oh, sometimes it's so hard. Because our flesh, our stinking flesh, is still alive. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You want to see his defeat? Keep going. This is how you do it. This is how to drive him off. But you have to actively resist. The only thing the enemy I have ever experienced and others that I know have ever experienced, when you stand, when you decide to stand, the only thing the enemy ever ends up doing, he's such a moron at times, is drive me closer to the Lord. Because I will not quit. This has to be our mindset. We have an enemy. And many of you that don't quit. And that's what he ends up doing. And I've told him that. I said, you stupid devil. How dumb can you get and still breathe? All you're doing is driving me closer to Jesus. That's it. You'd think he'd get it, huh? Stand. Stay intact. All right. Put on the whole armor of God. We're still on verse 11. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles, this is old King James. Wiles are schemes, tactics, tricks, devices, methods that the enemy uses to accomplish his destructive agenda. Know your God first and know your enemy. This is what happens with most believers. Okay, and it's important that we get intent and intentional about knowing our God first. But not be ignorant of the enemy. Because so many are just totally ignorant. Every while, every scheme, demonic tactic, method, device, plan of the enemy against you and against me is lie-based. It has a root. Everything does. It's lie-based. Lie means it's not true. Right? Okay. Just want to be clear on this. It's lie-based. I want to read to you, and I, for lack of time, we're only going to get, we may get through this, but I want to read to you some, the predominant, what I consider the predominant areas of this lie-based arena of methods, tactics, schemes, devices that he uses against us. We're going to expose him, okay? Number one. The temptation to lure the flesh into ungodliness, unrighteousness, through our thoughts, our emotions, and the actions that we take. The temptation to lure the flesh into ungodliness through our thoughts, emotions, and actions that we take. Just like he tried to do with Jesus in the wilderness during his fast. Same thing. It's being used on you and me all the time. He has the same, the enemy, your enemy, my enemy, has the same MO and has for centuries, thousands of years, since the very beginning when he first spoke to Adam and Eve. Uses the same stuff. You know, one of the areas of temptation to lure us is what Hollywood and the internet present. They're big. They're huge. I mean huge. Don't get me wrong. Not everything that comes out of Hollywood or everything on the internet is evil. Boy, there's a whole lot of it that is tempting. And I'm not talking about just pornography. I'm talking about all kinds of things to lead us, to tempt us, to dangle the carrot to get us to think about and meditate on and consider and weigh it out and look at it. Maybe back away because we know it's not the Lord, but the draw back to it. It's temptation to lead us into some kind of arena of sin, which all it does is hurt us. Doesn't hurt God, it hurts us. But the Lord's given us the victory over this, right? This is part of the lie base that comes to us. The next one is the perversion of the Word of God. Today, in these times, you know, this has been happening forever. Since the Word first came, there has been an intent by our enemy to pervert. Pervert in the Greek means to make it crooked. Truth is a straight line. Here it is. It's direct. It's point A to point Z. It's direct. To pervert says, I'm going a different way. I'm going to take you off this path. To pervert the Word of God. It presents, because we're spirit, soul, and body, right? Three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. It's to present to our spirit a false spiritual draw. And if we're open to it, to the lie-based part of this device, it will pull us over into a perverted, twisted understanding of the Word of God. And we will filter, or people will filter the Word of God through that. Like, God is bad. God brings destruction on people. God caused this outage. God brought on Corona. You know, those kind of, come on. But those are the things. God took your child. God put cancer on you. God doomed you to have financial, you know, on and on and on. But that's not what the Word says. Is it? How do you know? I mean, how do you know? Is it part of your armor? That's why it's so important to be instructed in the Word. That's why we have our classes. Perversion of the Word. It's the enemy. Jesus said, Mark chapter 4. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 13. Jesus said, told a parable about the sower sows the Word. And it was good seed. And he's talking about the Word of God being sown into people's hearts and lives. And the good seed growing up. Likened it to wheat. Good wheat. Nourished and healthy and well and in every area. And at night, after the sower sowed the good seed, an enemy came by and sowed bad seed. Tares. And the tares grew up with the wheat. Those blood-sucking, life-destroying, corrupting tares. How do they do that? Now, I want you to picture this in a believer's life and in the church. Because this is what he's talking about. Tares in the wheat. They're going to be there. And when I talk about the church, I'm talking about the whole church of Jesus Christ. There are men and women, which you know, who are perverting I shared some of this before in the past, perverting the word of God and saying it says something other than what it says. Producing a false spiritual draw. There are false prophets, false teachers. There are pastors out there that are doing some horrible things, proclaiming a perverted word of God. They're popping up like crazy now. And there's going to be more. There's going to be more. They're popping up like mushrooms on a manure farm. Really? They're everywhere. All you got to, anybody that's got a word to say, a word to give, all you got to do is go to the internet and you can find somebody say anything that will have this false spiritual draw to you. If you don't identify the lie base behind it. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, test all things. We forget to test it. When you hear a perverted word, a false prophet, how do you know what's perverted? How do you know who's a false prophet? How do you know when a pastor is teaching false things? The word of God. Get some counsel by somebody more mature that you know you can trust. Not just anybody. Test it. Examine it. Investigate it. Is this really true? I did this with the grace message. I heard Andrew Womack talking about grace one day and I said, there is no way. No way this can be true. And I set out to prove him wrong. I was testing. You know, I couldn't. And I will tell you, it changed my life. This message that we have, just like the rest of us. But test it. Don't just swallow it because somebody says it. There's so many devices, demonic devices out there, you can't shake a stick at them all. And there's all kinds of people perverting the word that will tell all kinds of things. They're not true. And they will take the word and make the word say what they want you to get, although it doesn't really say that. Okay, I don't have time to go into that. Pastor Rosie teaches a class on how to study the word. How to study the word. How to do this. I hope she does it again one of these days. The next one. Oh, one of my favorites. Not. Is division. Division. Now, it's a favorite of the enemy in tactic, in device. For a marriage, a family, a school system, a culture, between races. Need I go on? A church! Bring division. Start with somebody that is open. In a family, in a marriage, in a church. Start with somebody. Lie-based. Get to them. Use this method to bring division. And divide it. Because in Luke chapter 11, Jesus said, every kingdom where there's unity, divided against itself, will not stand. I hate division. I hate it. I will not have it. Not here. Not in our lives. As best as I can do, I will not have it. It's always up to somebody if they want to be divisive. But the word says, I can't remember right now, reject a divisive man or woman. Reject them after the first and second warning. Whoa! Can't remember where that is right now. Reject them. Back off. My philosophy has always been in this church and in our lives and in the ministry I was part of before, there will be no division here. I will not have it. It reminds me of, if I could share this with you, there was an old movie called Mr. Roberts. It was an old World War II movie with Henry Fonda and James Cagney. And they were on this Navy ship in World War II, near the end of World War II, and Henry Fonda wanted to get out to the battle, out to the fight. And this captain, James Cagney, would not let him go. He was using him. And the captain was real insecure, he was real messed up, and he was a mess. And everybody wanted to bail out on this ship and from this crew. Henry Fonda kind of held it together. And he came to the captain and he said, listen, you got to make some changes or there's going to be disharmony aboard this ship. Division. So James Cagney says to him, there ain't going to be no disharmony aboard this here ship. See, mister? It ain't going to happen. Now, in a small sense, don't take this wrong, don't misread it, but that is how I stand. If somebody wants to cause division, please go do it someplace else. You can't do it here. Not going to have it. Division is an evil, 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 evil tactic and device utilized by yours and my enemy to perpetrate destruction, to make your life and my life fall, or the life of a church or family or marriage or school or between races or anything else. That's what this is about. Division is evil. Next. Rebellion against established godly authority. Whoa, what do you do with that? Rebellion against established godly authority. Now, in this area of rebellion, it's when we raise our will up and say, I'm not doing it, whatever you say. Whatever the authorities over all of us, we all have authorities over us, what they say. Now, in a civil arena, I'm talking about the government, things like that, where there are immoral laws, and there are going to be more immoral laws, what are you going to do? Submit? Or peacefully, this is my stand, peacefully resist. I'm not going to do it. If it's an immoral law, an ungodly law, it ain't going to happen. Not in my life. I'm not going to obey it. If it's a moral law under a civil authority, all governments, God came up, you know, God, it's God's idea to have governments. Right? He put governments in place. We know this in Romans chapter 13. God put governments in place. We're to submit to the governing authorities over us. Except when it's immoral or ungodly. These vaccine mandates, they're immoral. They're absolutely immoral. But you've got to hear the Lord on this stuff. You've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now let's talk about godly authority, all right? Godly authority is established in families. Parents, can I see a head nod there? That's godly authority. Kids, to say, you know what? I'm not going to do it. It's rebellion. Is it prompted by the flesh or by the demonic? Well, we're going to get into this more later on because that's part of discerning what's what. Is it part of the tactics that the enemy uses? Of course it is. I will raise my will up against you and I will not do, even though you're an authority over me, will not do what you ask. Apostolic authority, pastoral authority. Hey, listen. Pastors don't get to be dictators. They don't. Ever. But if a pastor has a church and is the pastor over a church, the pastor has the spiritual authority there. Period. I'm not even going to go into all this. We walk a real fine line. I mean a real fine line with how we lead and how we pastor. Because we're aware of the spiritual authority that we have and not to abuse it. I can't say that for everybody. But it's a fine line all the time. I lay my life down for you all, for all our church. I have, Rosie and I have done this for years. We have laid our lives down. It's cost us more than what you realize. And you know what? We're willing to do it. It is our privilege and our joy to do this for everybody, to not only watch out for and take care of you, but I mean, give everything that we can give to you that we know to do, that we're led to do through the Word. But it takes both of us working together in this, right? God is raising up some of you to be leaders. He has, and He will. Because I haven't said anything to you. Every once in a while, there's somebody that the Lord tells me to go ahead and speak to. But God, in here, and particularly these last times, is raising up others to be leaders, not only in the kingdom, but here. That means when that happens, it carries a spiritual authority. Then it's up to the persons that they have a spiritual authority over whether they're going to submit. If it's immoral or ungodly that a spiritual authority is leading in that direction, then don't submit to it. Same thing as you do with the civil law, right? Rebellion is a tool, a device, a method of the enemy. He uses it to provoke people to do that. Creates disharmony. All right, next. Manipulation and control. Manipulation and control. Y'all know what that is? I got to wrap up with this one. Manipulation and control. It is the exertion of one person's will over another by force or by deception. It is the exertion. Do you understand what I'm saying? How many like manipulation, like being manipulated? How many like it? Anybody here like it? You enjoy it? You like being controlled? You know, we experience some of this from our government, right? State government, federal government, that attempt to control us. And it's going to get more. Do you like it? It is in the exertion of someone's will over us by force or by deception. Now, people do this to each other. That is witchcraft. That is a type of witchcraft. Anything that presents manipulation and control and usurping somebody's will by our own by force or by deception is a form of witchcraft. And it is how the enemy works in somebody's life. It's a tool. It's a tactic. It's a device. Recognize it for what it is. Okay? All right. Well, I would like to go on, but we are out of time. So we will finish this up and go on next week to, have you ever had the question, why don't most believers get this? You ever wondered? Have you ever wondered about that? Anybody besides me? Maybe I'm the only one. We're going to go on to that. I'm going to try to wrap up next week. But we got some ground to cover because these things are necessary for us to hear. Amen? Will you stand with me, please? I sure do love you all. I'm really, really glad you're here. I'm glad you're a part of this body because you are such a viable, viable part of this church. You have no idea. I look around at times and I see the calls. I see the gifts that are in you. I see what the Lord has done and what he's doing. I see what the potential is. I see what things that the Lord is speaking and putting together. I can see it. It depends on all of us working together. And I will do personally everything that I can do for every one of you to help you step in to all that God has for you. That is my heart and my purpose. Amen? We are in this together as we face all the last day stuff before Jesus returns. And we all have a lot to do. Amen? Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, help us to put your armor on. And I mean know it and wield it and use it mightily, powerfully, and in faith, expecting changes. Changes. Breakthroughs in our life and people's lives around us. Help us to stand strong in you and the power of your might regularly. Let this be our mindset and be cognizant of the fact that we have an enemy who uses his devices to destroy or attempt to destroy us and those around us, and give us the wisdom and the clarity, the understanding to know how to walk this through in the victory we've already got in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, who needs prayer today? Okay? Anybody else? Come on, Matt. We'll just send somebody back to you. Okay? Stay right there. Anybody else? Did it? All right, Tim, you can come on up. Hallelujah. Ifoma, would you mind? Anybody else? Okay. You are dismissed. You are blessed. You're going to have an awesome week. Amen? Amen? I love y'all.